You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Indeed, we are powered by the SID Media. So according to Healthline, having a wandering eye could include bi-tenary checking out someone other than your partner. Or flirting with them. It could also include admiring someone's physical beauty or commenting on them or touching them. Some people also use the term wandering eye to mean you simply find others attractive. So we are joined on the line by my pastor, Pastor Maxwell Zulu, who's going to be helping us understand, is it a sin? Like, is it a problem? Like, you know, can we have this wandering eye or can we not? Pastor Zulu, good morning. How are you?
Good morning to you. Good morning. How are you? And good morning, listeners.
We are good, Mpundiswam. I hope you had a beautiful weekend and you rested very nicely.
We did rest very well and the Lord has been with me.
Amen and amen. Mpundiswam, before we start, I'm going to ask that, can you please pray for us?
Please let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for the privilege to be on air this morning. We pray that this conversation we will have may bless a soul out there. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. So, Mpundisi, you know, we can Google and do dictionaries, but from you, what is a wandering eye?
Well, a wandering eye, in my shortest definition, is an eye on a mission to lust. An eye on a mission to last. Mm. Yeah.
So, Mpundisi, so this eye, we can't have it and not last. I'm Mpundisi. So we can't have it and not last.
Well, the reason why it is called wandering, it's the motive of, it's actually more of a guided, you know, it's this eye which is in pursuit. It's looking for something. You get the point. Mm. So it's in it. Motive, it's already being driven by something. So it's not so much of an accidental kind of eye contact. It is informed. It, in its pursuit, it's looking for something.
Ah, I see. So before we get into, you know, for this, how we can train their eye and so forth and so on, is it only men that have this wandering eye?
Actually, it is both genders that are affected. Mm-hmm. Mind you, this wandering eye stems from biological needs, for instance, sexual needs. Mm-hmm. Both men and women have got sexual needs. And as you look, you get attracted to men. As men look, get attracted to women. So it's not something that affects one side of a creation. It's something that affects across the gender board. Men and women, both of them can actually have a wandering eye. Actually, women may actually have a stronger wandering private eye. Stronger private wandering eye. Mm. Yeah, sure.
So with that, Mpundiswam, are we then to understand that for women, we have it, but people don't know that we have it?
Exactly. You are not on the spotlight, but you have it. Yeah.
So when we...
Actually... Mm-hmm. Actually, this is more of biological than it is of, you know, sin, as you may say. Naturally, we are inclined to opposites, like opposites. Exactly. So women in their private spaces talk more of men. Mm-hmm. Men in their private spaces talk more of women. So it's just, that we don't know each other's world, but really... it is from there that you get to deduce the reality that actually a woman also has a wandering eye and a man definitely has a wandering eye, except that men are on the spotlight. Mm. Men are on the spotlight.
So is it a problem, Mpundiswami, for men? Is the wandering eye a problem for men as much as us, we also have it? But for men, does it become a problem or it's okay to have it?
I must be categorical to say a wandering eye is an issue.
Okay.
A wandering eye is an issue. I must put a disclaimer, however, that the eye has freedom to see this, a stimuli in the environment. Mm. The eye has the freedom to see, to perceive, to sense what it is looking at. But when the intent of the heart rests upon what it is looking for to lust, then it becomes a sin. In other words, there is nothing wrong to see a woman that is beautiful and appreciate them for whom they are and what God made them like. Beauty is beauty. You get the point.
Yes.
You get the point.
Yeah.
Beauty is beauty. You, no matter how you may Christianize it, beauty is what? Beauty is beauty.
Yeah.
But when you let, here is where it becomes a problem. According to Matthew 5, verse 28, Jesus says, "But I say unto you, he that looks at the woman to," he adds a clause, "to lust," that's a motive to lust after her, "then a wandering eye becomes a problem," which means if you could look at a woman without intentions of lust, that does not become a problem.
So if you look at a woman, Mfundiswami, and you're like, Zanele has a very nice bust, is that wrong? Mm-hmm. Is that now you lusting? Or you're like, ish, if I can, she has a beautiful bust, but if I can touch it, now that becomes a problem. Or we can just say she actually has a beautiful bust.
Yeah. We must be very careful, though, because they are instigators to sin, you know. For instance, there would be some, why are your eyes focused on the bust? You know, that's the question, because there is nothing Christological that you may pull out of the bust. You even know to say, the reason why looking at the bust is I will end up wishing to touch the bust. And this is where the discipline of the eye may want to come in. You appreciate how somebody is created, and quickly you let go of any nest that may form in that thought.
Mm,
you know,
okay.
So there is nothing, but we cannot begin to categorize. Oh, she has beautiful legs. Oh, she has nice lips. Like, really, why are you singling out those? Those are indicators that you know you are being a little bit sensual with this kind of you know, perception and whatnot. So, to be as honest as I can be, problems may begin when we begin to single out their lips, their boobs, their, you know, bust, the whatever. These may be steps leading you into a serious problem.
So,
and by the way, imagine you're seated with your man on the table. Then your man goes like, "Ooh, check out that bust." Honestly, if you were having ice cream with your man up, with your man, appetite would go. I mean, okay, why mention the bust? So these are really, really indicators that I'm in the danger zone. Appreciate people for who they are without singling out any, you know, parts of their bodies.
Fundis, I get what we're gonna compliment on the bust, because it's what we see, you know. Maybe if now we compliment the bums, it would be horrible. Now you had turned, you know, you had to turn. So now it was intentional. But if it's something that is unfortunate, but I get you, Mfundis. I listen, you know, I've listened to Mfundis. I won't argue on that one. So
please, when you're seated with your man, don't say, "Ooh, that guy has a nice chest. Baby, look at..." I mean, you would turn off your man. That would just really be...
But what if he's okay with it?
Well, that's a unique man out there. That would be a unique guy out there. Like you would be okay. You know? Like, I mean, yeah. So, basically...
Okay, I'm gonna behave because I actually wanted to come then, Pundiswami Uguti. There are those unique couples, or there are those couples. When we converse with them, we get that when they're walking in the mall holding each other's hands, like they don't mind complimenting the people that they meet like that. You're walking towards the mall and then you're seeing a lady like, oh, she's got beautiful curves. And then the guy, that's the guy saying, you know, and then me, when I see someone, I'm like, he actually has a nice beard, you know. There are those couples that are comfortable with that. But when now they do that and other people hear them, they're like, ha, 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 what's going on here, you know. So is it wrong? So if the couple themselves, they are okay with each other complimenting to that extent, saying the bust is nice, the chest is nice, the beard is nice, they've got, well, the eyes you can't really see because you need to be very close up for you to compliment the eyes. But, you know, we pick those features. Is it okay if they have agreed, or we should just try and stay away from it because now we're going to be lusting over those people?
Yeah, my perfect advice is try and stay away. You know, you cannot be complacent with signals. You know, sin begins with attraction. Mm. Eve was looking at the tree before she heard the voice. Mm-hmm. So you may be attracted at that beard.
Mm.
But check out what the devil will say about it.
Okay.
You know, you may be attracted at those curves and you may be okay with it, with your man saying that, with your woman saying that, and all that kind of a thing might fall into place. But check this one out. Normally, sin stems from attraction,
mm-hmm.
And if we don't discipline ourselves with attraction, imagine if your husband wasn't there. Or your man wasn't there.
Yep.
Next time you hear is that your man was telling everybody at the mall, you got nice curves.
Mm.
You know, you look pretty. You know, because no matter how beautiful, I have learned this, no matter how beautiful somebody is, in order to maintain my pastoral, you know, to maintain my pastoral aroma, I will hold my peace.
Yes. Yes.
I'll hold my place because I've got to learn to discipline myself.
Mm.
You know, yeah. So really, I think the best would be, I don't know, there are open relationships out there, and I don't know how they come to such kind of a dangerous consensus, but the best would be, you know, stick to what you have, you know. Yeah, you know, stick to what you have. Just you know, don't be a complimenting machine. Like,
you're
a complimenting machine. How many handsome guys will you meet from home to town and from town to home?
Yeah, right.
And, I mean, you will be a complimenting machine. And you know, no matter how you may want to defend this by the fact that they agreed, you will realize that deep within them, they're not comfortable. Deep within them, there is no normal man. Normal.
Hmm.
And by normal, I know they are deep.
Oh, we're losing Mfundisi.
Creating another man.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, Mfundisi, how then do we train this eye? How then do we discipline this eye? Re-men, as women, Mfundisi, I was a secretive, it's fine. How do men now train this wandering eye? Because as you're saying that, as much as we may agree, but deep down, you know, for example, if my husband were to compliment someone for having a flat stomach, and I know me, shame, I've got a ball in my stomach, you know. When I'm sleeping now, subconsciously, I'm like, ish, should I now go on a diet? Should I now go to gym? Like, I'll start wanting to do what? To have a flat stomach because my husband complimented someone with a flat stomach. Deep down, we do think about those things, even if we agree. So how then do the men train that wondering eye? Or does it become a problem when they now voice it? They can they just look and not say anything, or they shouldn't at all look? And how do they help themselves if they can't just stop looking?
All right. We must be very frank and sincere with the reality that every man before has somehow suffered from that disease. It's actually a disease of carnality. That disease is, it can be uprooted by Christ. Number one, you've got to be intentional to be right with God and with your partner. You've got to be intentional to be right with God and with your partner. Number one, because as you walk, as you hold hands with your spouse, you would be intentional enough not to hurt her feelings by complimenting other people. You know, I've seen people who've gone through partial depression because their husband was oftentimes, you know, comparing her to other women. You get the point. That really gets women into an emotional trauma. Husbands can go through the same, you know, emotional trauma. But here it is. Though we may be intentional, without the salvific solution that is found in, you know, Romans, that is found in Romans 12:2, in which the Bible says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." You know, you've got to renew your mind into a pattern, a perfect pattern that God approves. And you will discover that when you align yourself with God and what He wills, His perfect will, your wife will just be receiving, you know, this wholesome man who has already been dealt with by God. You know, so number one, let's be intentional about it. You know, no one would feel good. Personally, imagine my wife telling me, "Hey, babe, look at that guy." I mean, my girl, just be intentional on the reality. I don't like it. I don't like it. Yeah. So you've got to also place in the reality that except our minds be renewed, you know. Be renewed. There needs to be a renewal. We accept this is almost a universal problem around wherever you go. Men would have a wandering eye. This is the reality. But a man who has been born in Christ can control the eye.
Yep.
He can control the eye. When Christ is Lord, he does not become Lord of the hand leaving out the eye. When Christ becomes Lord, he does not become Lord of the mind leaving out the eye. When Christ becomes Lord, he does not become Lord of the stomach leaving out the eye. When he becomes Lord over all. It simply means whatsoever therefore that I will do, whether I look or I walk, I should do it to the glory of God.
So
exactly. So.
With that, Mfundiswami, how then do we train the boys? So I've got he's turning 12. I have a 12-year-old. Like, I shock myself every time I realize that that's how old he's grown. Now train him, or his dad trains him or speaks to him about a wandering eye, how then do we go about that? And is it something that can be trained? And if yes, at what age? Should I start with the 4-year-old, or should I start when they are now turning 12, saying, "Bona, if this is your person, this is your person. Don't look at other things. Don't look at other people's behinds and busts and everything else."
Yeah.
How then do we train these children? Because for me, I would be like, am I now introducing them to sexual stuff by speaking to them at that particular age? Or maybe that is the right age. I don't know what age, and can it we train them? Is it the right thing to do?
All right. Number one, it is the right thing to do to train, but you've got to be very careful at what age you begin to do that. Because instead of training, you may be introducing the child to something. You know, it's like we are walking, the three of us, on the way. Then I tell you, don't look behind. You know, but if I tell you, don't look behind, I've just told you to look behind.
To look behind, true.
Exactly. If I tell you, don't look behind, I'm actually telling you, find time to look behind. So it is important for us to train our children and to be as honest as we can be with them about their, you know, sexual changes as they grow. So if you have girls, you will tell them at this age, you expect this, you expect that. Boys, you expect this. Don't see strange things when you see this, when you see that. That kind of a training is much needed. But the one where you begin to train a wandering eye should come around a time of puberty.
Okay.
When testosterone is now being released, the boy is a hyper, he looks at girls, he sees that, and now you begin to train. And from initial perspective of your training should not be that they should be faithful to their partner, because I mean a 16-year-old boy, 15-year-old faithful for what?
Yeah.
So there you introduce a reality of sin when they look. Sin when they look. In Matthew 5:28, Jesus says, when you look at a woman to lust, to have sex with them, you have already committed adultery. And it should be, you know, embedded in our children as they grow towards puberty to say, once I look at a woman with intents of sleeping with them, you know, they have already committed adultery. So it's important to train, but we must be categorical the period when we begin to train. And we train not from a perspective of them being faithful. We train them from a perspective of being faithful to God in not committing adultery by sight.
And I really like that, Mfundisi, when you're saying that we must be mindful of that, because even with us adults, sometimes when they say, don't do this, we want to do it because we want to see, because, you know, we do have those naughty adults, if I can use that word. But for the child, we must train it at a, you know, at an age where they are now ready. So as we wrap up, my pastor, for us women, how then do we go about it and not hurt your egos as men? So here we are. Yes, we have agreed for whatever reason. We're okay with that. How then do I, or maybe I'm still training myself. I'm still training my wandering eye, or even you as a husband, you're still training yourself, you know. How then do we do it and not hurt our partner's feelings? So for example, if, his pastor is back. So if you want to say, Jane has a very slim figure, how then do you go about that and not hurt your wife's feelings? If you're still working on it, Mfundisi, if you're still trying to figure out, and this is in you, you're used to complimenting, you're used to having that. So how then do we go about it? And us as women, how then do I say, James has a very broad, nice chest, and not hurt my partner?
All right. Number one, there must be when you are getting into deeper waters of dating and courting, and later on getting married. We believe and trust that you singled out the choice that satisfies you in at least 70% of angles and above. Have you gotten that point?
Yeah, Mfundisi.
When you are making the choice to court, to date, to eventually get married, you must get the choice of a man, the choice of a woman that you are attracted to. Because when you are attracted to your spouse, it will show us that you were not forced into that relationship. And if you were not forced into that relationship, and you like your choice, you will pay attention to the context of the compliment. The context of the compliment. For instance, I shouldn't just wake up, and you shouldn't just wake up and begin to compliment other people. But maybe the topic of discussion you know, maybe you're in a group and the topic of discussion, or maybe you're having a discussion with your husband or wife, what kind of a body, you know, should she have, you know, the context, if you brought a comparative, you know, figure in that conversation, it would at least not hurt anybody, because the context is we're already discussing this. Not where I just wake up and say, "Who? I think that figure is nice." Wait, where were you when you were looking at me and proposing me?
Hey.
It's like you're no longer attracted to this. You get the point. So, by all means, it should be imperative to maintain your woman and your man as your best choice, even in the presence of the superlative beauty and handsomeness. You know, you've got to be proud of your man. There's no way you would begin to talk about other people's chests. If your man has a belly, enjoy the belly. You know, if your wife is chubby, enjoy the chubbiness. Praise the chubbiness. Praise the belly. You know, praise the one pack. You know, your man, when your man is going down, you're going down with him. When your wife is going up, you're going up with her. If the pregnancy will bring transformation, you go through the transformation together. She still remains the best out there. At no point should you be deliberate to hurt somebody's feelings by comparing them to anybody else, you know. So if you picked a pot belly, you know, find something good to say about pot bellies. You know, find something good to say about pot bellies. If you picked a chubby, you know, fat wife, whatever, you know, we are attracted differently. Praise her. Let her feel the angel that she needs to feel.
Yeah.
Besides, if you don't compliment her, yeah, where do you want her to be receiving first-hand compliments?
Yeah. Vundis, thank you. You could. So, if you are listening there at home, please praise us with our chubbiness, and we'll praise you with your broad chest, and we will make sure that we do train our eye. But, Pastor, you know, thank you so much. And earlier on, you know, you said something that I would like us to explore more. I will be in touch with the whole issue of open marriages and all of these things that we do these days. No, that people do these days when they're married. Oh, yeah. So I will text you, Pastor, so that we can set up a time where we can actually look at it biblically and also what the society is currently doing. But for today, Pastor, thank you so much. I'm going to ask that. Can you please pray for us as married people and those who actually want to get married so that the wandering eye may not be a problem?
All right, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for the moment to talk about your will for the eye. We understand that there is nothing wrong with sight. But when we begin to see and contemplate evil, we become sinners. We pray that you may help couples out there to appreciate one another for who they are. I pray, Lord, that you may help out somebody there who could have a weakness to look at women without lusting after them. I pray that you may heal all of us from the malady of sin. In Christ Jesus, we shall continue to ask and pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Pastor Zulu, thank you so much for joining us today. Have yourself a blessed day.
Thank you so much, and blessed day there too.
Amen.
You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.